O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may like to turn to the passage which Alistair read for us a short time ago. We're continuing our series in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Human relationships are the stuff of our lives. And in this section of his letter to the Christians at Ephesus, Paul writes of relationships. He writes to Christians, to the Ephesian Christians, and to us. And of course, in our many human relationships, the other person, the other party to that relationship, may or may not be a Christian. Husband and wife, parent and child, employer and employee, master and slave in Paul's immediate context. Has Paul exhausted every possibility? Is that a complete list? Of course not. The examples he gives are just that. They are major ones, but Paul is laying down a general principle of wide application to all a Christian's relationships, in the church, at home, in our workplaces, wherever we are in relationship with one another or with others. And that is much of the time. My intention in this sermon is to consider primarily its opening verse, verse 21 of chapter 5, where Paul states his overarching principle: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another, husbands, wives, parents, children, masters and servants, all of us, in church and out of it. A submission which is rooted in Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. Just to give a brief roadmap of this sermon, first, some reflections on reverence for Christ, then, and a little more briefly, submission to one another, and thirdly, to revert to the theme of reverence for Christ in the specific context of Holy Communion, the service to which we have come this morning and of which we are a part. Reverence for Jesus Christ. Two commentaries I read make the point that Paul literally here says, submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Fear of Christ, reverence for Christ, fear in that sense of reverence and awe. What is our attitude of heart and soul and mind? An attitude which is then to flow out into all our relationships. What is our attitude to our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul calls us to reverence him. We find our examples of reverence for Jesus Christ in the Scriptures and especially in the Gospels. Think of the accounts of the Incarnation, the coming of the Son of God in humility in the infant person of Jesus, his conception, birth, and infancy. The unborn John the Baptist leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb as Mary, pregnant with Jesus, greeted her. Elizabeth herself proclaimed, "Blessed is the child you will bear," and she called him "My Lord." Shepherds, they who were abiding in the fields, they glorified and praised God for the things they had seen and heard. Wise men bowed down and worshipped him. Simeon took Jesus in his arms. Lord, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And Luke records the quiet reverence of Mary, our Lord's mother. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And a little later in his gospel, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. One terrible counterexample, Herod, when he heard of one born king of the Jews, his heart was not filled with reverence or with awe and worship. His heart was filled with disturbance, with jealousy, with fury. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. The slaughter of the innocents, an event marked each year in the church's calendar, Holy Innocents Day, on December the 28th. From the earthly ministry of Jesus, just one example of many, and this example provides the counterexample also. Jesus heals 10 lepers. 9 just went off, healed. 1 came back. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Only that one Samaritan heard Jesus say, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." He reverenced Jesus Christ. The others, we infer, forgot him or did not care that much. Is it ever true of us that Christ blesses us, but we go forgetful on our way, forgetting to reverence him? And at the end of the earthly life of Jesus, his humbling himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, 2 thieves crucified with Jesus. One filled with the fear of God, knowing the justice of his sentence, cries out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." However partial his knowledge of Jesus and his kingship, how he reverenced Jesus as Lord as he cried out to him. The other hurled insults. And 2 men took the lifeless body of Jesus, anointed the body with spices, with myrrh and aloes, wrapped it, and laid the lifeless body in a tomb. The 2 were prominent Jewish leaders, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Their secret discipleship, their secret love for Jesus, now out in the open. What loving reverence for their Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opposite to so many gospel examples of the arrogance, jealousy, and murderous plotting of so many prominent religious men during the earthly ministry of Jesus. And so Paul bids us reverence, revere Jesus Christ. Peter, who knew Jesus' earthly ministry well, writes in his first letter, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your times as foreigners here in reverent fear." And he also writes, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." Let us in our hearts revere one who is almighty, eternal, divine, and one who humbled himself to live a human life and to die for our sake. Reverence for Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reverence for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me leads to submission to one another. Reverence for Jesus affects our relationships with each other across the board. Paul gives three examples, three of the key relationships in which at one time or another most of us, many of us certainly, are likely to be involved. Marriage. He gives a picture of mutual care, love, and submission. The good of the other being of primary importance. Eric, preaching on this passage some 4 years ago, and lest anyone should think that I have memorized this sermon over 4 years, I can assure you I haven't. Eric kindly emailed me a copy of it a short time ago. Eric, preaching on this passage 4 years ago, quoted this from John Stott. The injunction, wives submit, is preceded by the requirement that we are to submit to one another. Therefore, it is the wife's duty as a wife to submit to her husband. It is also the husband's duty as a member of God's new society to submit to his wife. Submissiveness is a universal Christian obligation. Throughout the Christian church, including every Christian home, submissiveness is to be mutual. For Jesus Christ himself is the paragon of humility. John Stott writing. Husband and wife, parent and child, honour your father and mother. Do not exasperate your children. Do not embitter your children, Paul says in the parallel passage in his letter to the Colossians. Mutual submission and respect. And we might reflect on the changing dynamics of a parent and child relationship. A child of 10, the parent of 35. A child of 30, a parent of 55, a child of 60, a parent of 85. Husband and wife, parent and child, master and slave, master and servant, as we would put it in our contemporary context. Paul sets this relationship in the context of a heavenly master, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the heavenly master of the lowliest employee. He is the heavenly master of the most powerful employer. Again, we are called to a mutual submission of respect, kindness, and consideration. All our human relationships are to be governed by our relationship with Jesus Christ. For we are servants, every one of us, whatever our position, or probably our positions, of the one who himself became our servant. Today's gospel. Jesus' words, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with the church. Not so with Christ's people. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Christian husband, value your wife above yourself, looking to her interests. Christian wife, value your husband above yourself, looking to his interests. Christian parent, Christian child, Christian employer, Christian employee. Look not first to your interests, but to those of the other. Value and care about the other as Christ values and cares about, as Christ has served the other. Christian, wherever you are, in church or out of it, look to the good in time and in eternity of the other. Submit to, do not lord it over others. Reverence for Christ, submission to others. Briefly to return to the theme of reverence for Christ. Reverence for Christ and indeed submission to one another in the context of Holy Communion. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for all partake of the one bread." The Collect for Purity. We acknowledge to Almighty God that our hearts are open, all desires known, no secrets are hidden from him. In the Gloria, we pray that Jesus, the Son, the Lamb of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, the one who takes away the sin of the world, would have mercy even on us. In the Eucharistic prayer, we remember Christ's command, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Sometimes we use words taken from those of the centurion whose slave was near death. "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." And so we come in submission to his command and in reverence for Jesus Christ to take bread and wine, which speak of the body and blood broken and poured out, and yet to become the food and drink, the nourishment of our salvation for time and for eternity. And we submit to one another. Let us remember that we are one body, that as he died for me, so he died for my neighbor, the person I love dearly, the person I hardly know, the person I can so easily fall out with or disagree with, the stranger, the outsider. And as we realize how Jesus values each one of us, let us see each other in that light. Holy Communion, what a wonderful opportunity today to reverence our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to submit to one another and in simplicity and humility to value one another as brothers and sisters for whom Christ died. Amen.